Aren't you interested in learning breakthrough wealth building strategies, such as how to flip a home in less than 2 weeks using other people's money with no real estate license, or how to build a low-cost home-based business? You can discover how to take passive income from any source and invest it into real estate, stocks, or business to become financially independent investing in any market with Residual Roads Business Institute. Collaborate with Andre and other Residual Roads advisors to create a free action plan and start implementing strategies today. Go to www.residualroads.com or email info@residualroads.com. Welcome to the Investing Uncensored podcast. You've been searching for different ways to become financially independent or generate passive income to live out your life's purpose as you've seen others do it, but need insight on how. Well, get excited because here you'll discover the tips and resources to fulfill that need. Andre Stewart has spent more than a decade successfully making it happen for himself and others. This is the Investing Uncensored podcast. And now here's your host, Andre Stewart.
Welcome to Investing Uncensored. I'm your host, Andre Stewart. And today I'm excited to bring you guys a great guest. He has a great background, not only visually, but in his entrepreneur skills and what he's done and what he's accomplished in his lifetime. So I want to bring you guys a great guest. Again, his name is Mac Lackey. And his story, I believe, is a really good story to tell because he took quite a few companies public, and it's really good to get some insight on how he did that. Well, not, I don't want to say public, but he has sold at least 7 companies, you know, obviously at our public. So he also has a soccer club, which is interesting. We have not had a soccer club owner on here. So it'd be good to get some insight on how he got to that point and what made him decide to buy a soccer club. So Mac, how are you doing?
I'm great. Thanks so much for having me.
If you can, really quick, just give us a background on all those jerseys you have in the back.
So yeah, you mentioned soccer. So I've been a lifetime soccer. I used to describe myself as a player. Now I'm old enough that I say I'm a fan, but I started playing soccer when I was about 4 years old. And as a kid, all of my goals and dreams were soccer related. You know, I wanted to play in college. I wanted to be an All-American. I wanted to play professionally. And so all my goals and dreams were sort of oriented around that. And thankfully, you know, I was able to check off a lot of those kind of things along the way. I, you know, played in college, played through college, played a little bit after. Mm-hmm. But soccer was such a big part of my life that even after I stopped playing, a lot of my future entrepreneurial ventures were tying into soccer. So yeah, the jerseys behind me are literally signed jerseys from Pelé, who I met at his house in Brazil, Lionel Messi, who I met in Barcelona, Ronaldinho, a Brazilian, one of my favorite players in history. I met him in New York, and Neymar, some of the greatest players that have ever played the game, including the women's side, Mia Hamm and some of the American players. I've been very fortunate to meet them and get pictures with them and get autographs. And they really represented some of the, you know, most exciting moments of my life. So as a big soccer guy, it's pretty meaningful. So yeah, I have kind of a lineup of them behind me on the screen.
It is great, guys. You will see it. It's amazing. So then take us back to the beginning of your journey. What made you want to become an entrepreneur? And, you know, how did it all get started? And, you know, give us a little success on those 7 companies you exited.
Yeah. So the early part of my life, as I mentioned, was really soccer related. And I just focused on that until almost the minute I stopped playing. So I went from being a soccer player, even when I went to college, it was really to play soccer. I didn't think about classes or degrees that were leading me somewhere because everything was soccer related. Ultimately, in 1994, so this dates me, but when I stopped playing, I got my first job with a very small software startup. I didn't have any skills. I didn't have any technical skills. I didn't have a business major. I didn't have an entrepreneurship class in my background. Mm-hmm. I started with this really small, high growth software company. And very quickly, I met an engineer that he and I became very good friends. You know, the way I sort of think about it in hindsight, almost because I didn't know any better and I was pretty confident, he and I decided that what we were doing as a small company, our software or the company that I was working with was focused on the education market. And we really believed that 2 things were happening in the world. One was that business was really going to benefit from the software that was being built. And 2, that the internet was going to kind of change everything. And so for a lot of people, that seems like such an obvious statement. But I launched my first internet company in the first quarter of 1995, right after Netscape launched the first commercial web browser. So we were literally right at the beginning of what people now describe as Web 1.0. Mm-hmm. And so I kind of got started. My first company, it was a typical garage startup, meaning, you know, I lived in a one-bedroom house. I wish it was a house. It was a one-bedroom apartment. I was eating peanut butter and jelly almost every night. All the stuff that people sort of say was literally how I was living. We had no money. I was engaged to be married to what is now my wife of 26 years. But, you know, she and I were struggling, you know, trying to get this started. My business partner and I were struggling. And that business, because of timing and some good decisions, grew very, very quickly. And 3 years later, we sold that startup for eight figures. I was in my, I guess I was about 27 at the time. Mm-hmm. So I had my first, you know, pretty significant exit in my 20s. And I really just fell in love with the startup process and journey. And by having an exit, it really validated that all the hard work, all the struggles we had gone through was worth it, particularly since it happened relatively quickly. I mean, it was a 3-year grind, but then all of a sudden when you have this amazing exit, you know, we were like, okay, well, it was worth three years of hard work because, you know, we just had a life-changing exit. So mm-hmm. that's kind of how I got started. And then over the next 25 years after that, I started, scaled up and exited a number of additional companies and just been kind of a prolific startup enthusiast. I really love the process. It's been a big mm-hmm. part of what I've done. So
that's a great story because, you know, a lot of people, everyone that I bring on here, we all have a similar background, you know, and there's this narrative going around that some reason people think that people that are successful just came from a lot of money.
Yeah.
Right. So they don't know that, like you just said, the 3-year grind. I have a startup too. And so I've been in the grind for a while. So, and you get to a certain point and like you said, it's hard, but when you get to a certain point where you're like, okay, I'm about to make an exit, it feels so good and it feels worth it. And so with you, tell us about your background. Did you come from wealth? Were your parents rich? Did you?
No, gosh, that would have made life a lot easier. In a lot of ways, I feel, you know, when you sort of talk about your background, your childhood, you know, in a lot of ways, I was truly blessed simply because I had parents that, number one, stayed together. Number two, were very, very good parents and supportive of me. Mm-hmm. You know, they were and are a big part of my life. So I feel very fortunate to have had awesome parents. Mm-hmm. What they didn't have and what we didn't have is, you know, I didn't grow up in a home, you know, my parents didn't go, you know, off to college. My dad, when I was young, was a third shift engineer working kind of the midnight shift. And so he worked really hard. So I learned a lot about work ethic from him, but, you know, just to get our family to a position where we had kind of a middle-class opportunity. And so I, you know, again, I don't want to paint my picture as like I came from under the gutter. I mean, I had a loving, warm family, but I certainly didn't have a wealthy upbringing. And thankfully for me, soccer, you know, opened a lot of doors. And so because I was, you know, a reasonably good soccer player, I was able to get scholarships to some of the top soccer, you know, programs in the country. And I was able to, you know, travel abroad to play, things that would not have been available to us as a family. You know, I didn't travel for vacations to even out west or California or other countries. It was, you know, we'd go to the local beach mm-hmm. once a year. So I feel, you know, again, fortunate to have the childhood I did, but it was not a path of wealth where I didn't have to worry about money or anything like that. So
basically what you're saying, your parents didn't come to you and write you a check for $100,000 or mortgage their home for your business to get started.
Yeah, our very first business was certainly, yeah. I think we had about $10,000 between our partner and I that like would buy our first computer to get started. And then if we didn't actually generate revenue in about 60 days, the whole thing would have gone under. So we had about 60 days and 10 grand to like make it all work. So yeah, it was a tough start.
And that's a great point because I was similar background, came from poverty and basketball being my outlet, my way out. And one thing that I do know, which you can probably attest to this, there's a great thing about athletes, the mentality and the mindset that they have and their willingness to not give up. I think that's why a lot of companies like to hire athletes because they know that they have this, you know, particular mindset.
I couldn't agree more. As a matter of fact, over the years, I had a long time business partner, co-founder of a lot of my companies, that he and I both played collegiate soccer and were, you know, knew each other for a long time. We played at different schools and things like that. But we ended up hiring a lot of athletes over our career because the discipline to play any sport at a high level, you know, college, pre-college, post-college, it takes a certain mentality and drive and commitment to do those things. And a lot of times those characteristics will translate to business or other things in your life. And so, yeah, I agree more. I will always look favorably at someone that's played a sport at a high level, because even if you're naturally gifted, there's so much more that has to happen to be successful as an athlete. So I agree. We've been very focused on working with athletes over the years.
I like to say, like, you know, if you're an athlete, some athletes just stick to the sport and that's it. But I don't think that they know, like, some of the things that athletes say, like Giannis said something recently, sports translates into businesses, like the mindset that they have. If you listen to some of the things that they say, that's the exact mindset that a business owner has.
Exactly.
It's just a different arena. So I think when people listen to what athletes are saying, they can try to, I would say, reframe that for their own scenario and probably do well in life. It doesn't have to just be like, oh, you know what? I need to take what Giannis said and focus on playing basketball. Take that and focus on doing something else, like starting a business.
Yeah, I think I even know the speech or comments you're referring to, which were fantastic. And I think professional athletes, and the other one is, you know, a lot of people these days refer to like the Navy SEALs, good or bad, the military. To me, in order to be successful, in order to like make something like the Navy SEALs here in the United States, the level of discipline and commitment, right, and that will to win. I used to say that in my startups all the time. Like, if you put two teams together side by side and gave them both good opportunities and good products, it's really the team that is committed to winning that will figure it out. Because it's so easy as a startup entrepreneur, like, you're going to be thrown a million curveballs and have hurdles and challenges. And, you know, if you give up or you're not committed to getting to the outcome, a lot of the world would justify it. They'd be like, oh, you had a tough time. You had some things go against you. You lost money. You lost employees, whatever. That is the story of every entrepreneur.
Right.
So those that are committed to winning and creating an outcome are the ones that really get across the finish line. So I'm a big believer in that mentality is applicable in sports. It's applicable in your personal life. It's applicable in business life. You know, it really is a mindset that you can adopt.
I always tell my son, how you do anything is how you do everything.
That's exactly
right. And so every athlete, and I train, I almost went to the NBA, but I ended up getting injured. And so the thing about it is, when you train a certain way, you get so accustomed to training that way. Here I am 40 and, you know, I tore my Achilles, I don't know, 6 months ago. And I'm training, I'm probably in better shape than I was before I tore it, right?
Yeah.
So even after I wasn't trying to go to the NBA anymore, I still trained like I was trying to go. Even playing in like rec leagues, I will still go in the gym and put in the same amount of effort. And that's kind of how I ended up tearing my Achilles twice from putting in too much work.
Yeah. Yeah. No, that's exactly right. Agreed.
And so with that, how did you develop that mindset? I know it came from sports, but getting past sports, were there certain books that you read, or did you go to seminars, or how'd you take that next level past sports? Because obviously being an athlete does help, but you still have to have the knowledge as an entrepreneur to take what you have in that drive and translate it into something else.
Yeah, for me, a lot of my life, I would say, as an entrepreneur, has come down to a few key things. You know, I don't ever hold myself out as smarter than anyone else or better than anyone else. You know, I think like most people, I have a few skill sets that I'm reasonably good at, but I have been very, very committed to, you know, I am kind of a life learner. I read a ton of books, and I always have, you know, as an entrepreneur. I didn't actually enjoy reading until I became an entrepreneur. Like in school, I candidly did not enjoy reading. But when I really wanted to figure out the entrepreneurial journey, I would read any books I could find on how other people did it, you know, people's biographies, lessons on marketing, lessons on sales, finance. I just devoured books. But the other thing that has been a big, big part of my life is, you know, looking for advisors and mentors in different areas of my life. You know, where I grew up in Charlotte, North Carolina, in the mid 90s to the late 90s to the early 2000s, this was not an entrepreneurial tech or startup
at all
area at all. And so I, as a young entrepreneur in my 20s, I didn't have anyone to look up to and say, I want to be like that person. Let me learn from them in terms of tech entrepreneurship. But what I did have is people that I could look to and say, this individual has morals and ethics and a family life that I would like to have when I'm older. This person has figured out how to sell something to Fortune 500 companies. So they're an amazing salesperson. So I really tried to surround myself with people and just ask them to mentor, advise, and support me in very specific areas so that I could become more and more proficient at those things. That was a real helpful part of the journey because I had to, you know, I always describe now to young entrepreneurs, if you're trying to be successful in life, define what your goals are and find someone that's already been where you're trying to go, ideally more than once. And so if you can look at someone the way they're living their personal life or family life and say, I want to be like that person, you need that person to tell you, how did they design their life around their family? How did they create the time to spend with their family while they're busy building companies? And so the things that I was very committed to, that being one, optimizing for my family, I really found people that I could constantly learn from and ask questions. And that was a big differentiator for me since I didn't have any formal training in business or entrepreneurship. I was a psychology major and got into grad school and thought, I'm not going to, you know, go pursue that. So I literally had no foundation for business. I had to learn it all, you know, along the way. So that's how I did it. Books and kind of mentors.
What I was going to ask is that question, what was your major? So you just told me, because I was curious, was it, you know, business, but it was psychology. So it had nothing to do with entrepreneurship at all.
No, it didn't. And I, you know, I do think part of the value of, you know, formal education, if you will, learning to learn, there's plenty of things. I was interested in psychology versus some of the other subjects that were available at a liberal arts school. But yeah, I, you know, because of my age, if nothing else, you know, I came through university really before entrepreneurship was a class or major, and I didn't take computer science and I didn't even take business classes. And so with my very first company being a tech startup, I had to learn sales, marketing, finance. I had to understand enough of computer science to be able to communicate to our engineers and to our customers. So really, really throwing yourself in the deep end, as long as you're committed to create an outcome, helps you learn faster. I mean, I feel right. Like I got a MBA in the first 6 months of starting my company. It was just an immersion in business.
Ever wished you had the opportunity to buy a stock like Facebook, Amazon, or Netflix before it went public or was able to get shares in companies like VC firms and angel investors? Well, here's your chance. Go to investfar.com/invest and reserve a position. For the next 1 to 3 months, InvestFAR is allowed a limited number of low-cost shares be available for friends, family, and its community per SEC regulations before it goes public. Imagine being able to 1,000x or 10,000x your investment, like the top 5%. With exclusive opportunities such as this, positions are limited and the window of time is short. Don't miss your chance. That's INV, as in Victor, ESTFAR.com/invest.
And I wrote a book called Epitome of the Mind, and it talks about what you're saying. Everything obviously starts in the mind, but yeah. I don't think people know that just because someone's rich, there's a stat out there that says millionaires have at least 7 mentors, right? For different things, just like you exactly you just said. So that's a great point. And obviously you've exited a bunch of companies. You're an angel investor in 50 companies and you still have mentors, and you don't need a mentor because you can do whatever you'd like to do. You've obviously succeeded and exited multiple companies, but you still choose to have mentors. And why is that?
I think for me, and I, gosh, it almost feels cliche because I've heard other people say it and it never lands well, but it's just the truth. In my case, you know, I went from, like I said, eating peanut butter and jellies to, you know, I was in my kind of mid to late 20s. And I went from that to being, you know, bought a mountain house, beach house, got the sports cars I wanted. I mean, I kind of checked off all of the bucket list items. And as soon as you do that, you know, it was like, all right, well, I ended up selling most of those things. I still had a nice house and I like nice cars to some degree. But then I realized very quickly, like, that's not life. You know, life to me was much more about how do I spend time with my two daughters who were, you know, born right in the middle of me trying to grow my companies? And how do I travel, which is something I'm passionate about? So it wasn't really about money and possessions and things anymore as much as how do I want to live my life? And that's an ongoing journey. It's constantly changing. I'm constantly thinking about new chapters. And that's kind of where I am now. The reason I'm trying to help people is because after I sold my last company, I realized I probably don't want to start another company. I have been heads down building companies for most of my life. Now I really want to help other people, and I want to travel with my wife, and I want to do interesting new things like buy a soccer team in Spain. So it's just kind of a new chapter. And in order to enter new chapters, I'm learning tons of new stuff. And so mentors remain a big part of that.
And so I think technology has bridged that gap tremendously, because before you didn't have access to people that had so much knowledge. Like YouTube, you can go on and find a mentor from afar. You don't have to know this person directly, but you can go on there and find almost anything. Or I even said this on a recent podcast, Instagram or Twitter. If you really have a compelling message and you send it to someone you want to be your mentor, if they read it, I mean, you could really get access to somebody 20, 15 years ago, you could not do that at all. So I think that finding a mentor is obviously one of the greatest things, because it cuts down your risk, right? Like if you go and you find someone who's done it before you, they're going to be like, I wouldn't do that. You can obviously make your own decision, but they're going to advise you on, I don't think you should do that. And based on my experience and where I am, you should listen to them.
The point you're making there is, you know, people can tell you what to do and keys to success, but there's just as much, if not more, value in what not to do.
Correct.
What to avoid, what to, you know, mistakes to just never even pursue. So yeah, mentors can be very helpful in that context. And I think the world is I'm jealous. I mean, I'm jealous for yes. The generation of people that have access to, yeah, amazing content and teachers and mentors, because before it was like, if they weren't in your local area where you could go have a cup of coffee with them, it was really hard to connect with someone. Now, like you said, I mean, you can mentor or connect with or advise or invest in people, companies, entrepreneurs all over the world. So candidly, to me, that means there's no excuse. If you want mentors, you can find amazing mentors in the world.
And it's like, at this point in time, I always say there's no one who should not be a millionaire in the next 5 years. That's just why I really believe, because you can go on YouTube and create content. I think they just said $32 billion in 2022 alone with YouTube content creators.
Right.
That is insane.
Yeah. The barrier of entry is low. I mean, it's a lot more competitive, you know, to be an influencer, to do certain Correct. Things. But I'll tell you the 30-second story, which I think is funny. So my second company, we set out to do something at the time was very progressive with media over the internet. And we raised, for that company, we raised $2 million from investors. We spent $1 million on a content management system and e-commerce system that we built, because we had to have engineers. So $1 million was what it cost us to just build the foundation. You can get that for about $10 a month from WordPress right now.
Wow. And so
it literally cost us $1 million to do something that the average citizen can get for less than $20 a month now. So the barrier, particularly with technology, to start companies is so low. We used to have to physically buy servers to host content. And every time we would get to capacity on a server, you have to plunk down another $10,000 for a new server, and you just kept building them. Now, again, Amazon Web Services,
yep,
and turn on and turn off in an hour. You know, it's amazing how easy it is to start something. Not that it's easy to be successful. You still have to work, but the barriers and the access is just wide open to everyone.
And so that's one of the things that I try to always push on this narrative, is that it doesn't matter what background you came from, right? Especially in this day and age. I think before, information, you had to go and read it. You had to go to the library. You had to go do so many different things. But now you can Google something and literally you're going to have 20 million hits on that one thing. You know what I mean? Or you can just type it in. How do I change the filter on a 1975 Chevy? It's going to come up.
That's true.
So I guess a lot of people that are listening to this podcast are business owners, and you are an angel investor. What kind of companies do you look to invest in? And do you have a website that you can receive deals from? Do you have a minimum investment amount that you like to put towards?
Yeah, so I would say a couple things. You know, I have been a relatively prolific angel investor over the years. And some of that was, I'm real passionate about entrepreneurship and startups, and I love to see people succeed. I realized, you know, really in the last year in particular, you know, my value to entrepreneurs is probably higher as a advisor, mentor, providing them, you know, helpful things relative to the size of check I could write, where people's friends and family can, you know, give them a lot more capital a lot faster typically. So I would say I'm investing less and less these days. I've got a couple of companies, you know, in my team that I'm really focusing capital around, but I do also publish a lot. You know, I have a primary website at maclackey.com, just, you know, my name, which is, I, you know, blog post, and I try to put videos, all really in an effort to help entrepreneurs. And then the other thing I've been doing over the past number of years is I created a program called Exit DNA. And I wrote a book. It was really an ebook that I was selling, thousands and thousands of this book. And then I decided to just give it away for free, because it really is the actionable steps that entrepreneurs need to put into their business so that they can sell it in the future if they want to. And that's the key thing for me is, as an entrepreneur, you may not want to sell your business. You don't know what the future holds, but you want the option or the ability to sell it. Because for most entrepreneurs, an exit is the largest financial opportunity of their life. And so you want to have that option. You want to know that if you sell it, you maximize value. So I've got this ebook at Exit DNA, which is the name of my program. So exitdna.com/book. And I would encourage anybody that, you know, your listeners, people that you work with, again, it's a free ebook now. Just download that ebook, because it gives you the real step-by-step stuff that you need to do to create that option. So that's kind of where I'm focused these days, is just trying to help entrepreneurs and using Exit DNA as a specific framework to work with people that aspire to, you know, exit in the future.
I love it. I will be going to that website myself. And again, guys, it's exitdna.com, right?
Yes, sir. And then /book is how you get access to the free ebook.
Is it going to get downloaded, or will it get emailed to them?
Yeah, I think you put in name, email address, it'll get emailed to you as a PDF, so you can download it, print it, whatever you want to do. And it's, like I said, it's very actionable stuff. Like you can just read it and start putting some of the stuff to work the same day. It's not esoteric, long-term strategy. It's tactical stuff you can start taking advantage of.
I love it. You have a lot of content, you said, or you're trying to push out more content. Do you have Instagram, or you go to Twitter to push out content, or where can they find you with that?
Yeah. So all of my social media, you know, I think I kind of go in fits and starts, but, you know, at Mac Lackey, and it's MacLackey, you know, on most of the social channels. I do post on Instagram. A lot of what I post on Instagram is, you know, travel with family, because I'm traveling a lot back and forth to Spain with this team. And LinkedIn, I have a, you know, fairly prolific, you know, posting content, trying to help and connect with entrepreneurs. So that's a good place to reach out to me as well, as on LinkedIn.
Guys, reach out to him. He obviously has a lot of good information just based on us being able to chat for a quick moment here. But before we go, we have to get more insight on this team. How'd you get into acquiring this team, and how are they doing and all that good stuff?
Yeah, it's been a really fun and interesting process. So I picked up and moved my family to Barcelona back in 2014, kind of a lifestyle decision. My daughters, we put them in a school there. And during our time in Barcelona, I love FC Barcelona, the team, and I had season tickets and was going to all their matches. And I really started thinking about, in retirement, that how much I would enjoy moving back to Spain and potentially buying a team, like a lower division team, just because it would be, you know, fun for me personally. Long story short, about 3 years ago, I started, you know, thinking about it again and looking at some actual clubs in Spain, because I started to believe it was actually a financial opportunity, not just a retirement strategy that I would do when I was done. And the more I dug into these clubs, the more excited I got, because I felt like, you know, my background, my connections, my kind of business acumen around the sport really could add value to some of these clubs. So we started really taking it seriously, looked at a bunch of clubs, did due diligence on probably 10. And I ultimately found a club in southern Spain, beautiful stretch of what they call the Costa del Sol, the bottom of Spain, right below Malaga, Marbella, Soto Grande, all these beautiful places. We're right at the Strait of Gibraltar. So over the back of our stadium, you can see the Rock of Gibraltar. What? And you can even see Morocco. Africa is only 14 kilometers away, right across the water. You can see Africa. So it's a beautiful place. The club is over 100 years old. So it's been, you know, around for multiple generations. It's been a really, really fun process for me to, you know, just start thinking about the business side of soccer and back and forth 10 times. I went to 10 home games over the last season, and I'll be living in Spain for a lot of the fall so I can be there for every match. So yeah, it's been a really, really fun journey.
I was going to say I am heading to Spain, hopefully in the fall. So, and I have not been to Malaga yet. That's where I want to go. It's the opposite. Okay. It's really beautiful.
It's Southern Spain is wonderful. I mean, the people, the food, the weather. So yeah, you and I for sure need to stay connected offline so that if you come over, I'd love to host you at one of our games. It's a really, really fun experience.
I'm definitely going to keep in touch with you. I have to go to Madrid and Barcelona for a conference. So perfect. If I'm going to be there for like 3 or 4 days, I'm going to definitely come down there because I haven't seen it. And one of my friends was living in Germany and he goes to Spain all the time. And he's like, man, forget that area. You need to go to Southern Spain. And I'm like, really? He's like, yes, yeah. It's amazing. So
it's a special place. Yeah, I really love it. I'm enjoying it. And again, there's a real, real business opportunity there, not just, you know, for fun. There's something real with these clubs that we're focused on. So yeah, it'll be a fun journey.
But last question, because I'm a real estate guy. Anything as far as real estate goes in that area that would be good?
I think what is happening in Southern Spain is it has been along the coast. It's beautiful. Some of the nicest resorts, the nicest coastal properties in all of Spain, but it has historically not had the kind of access with like high-speed trains that you have into Barcelona or Madrid. And so that infrastructure is being built out. So I believe over the next 5 to 10 to 15 years, you'll see the real estate prices in some of the most beautiful areas of Southern Spain really take off. And other than just little stretches of the coast, you know, if you come inland 100 yards, much less a mile, there's lots of available land, houses, buildings, all untapped opportunities, in my opinion. So yeah, we're actually looking at a number of real estate opportunities now that I've seen on the ground what it looks like. I think it's a big wave kind of coming into Southern Spain. And Malaga is the fastest growing city in Spain, getting a lot of investment dollars. They're calling it the next Barcelona, and it's only about 45 minutes away, big airport, big train station. So everything below there, in my opinion, is going to see valuations kind of shoot up over the next couple of years.
Mac, thank you for your time, and we're going to be in touch.
I love it. Thanks so much for having me.
Okay, Mac, thank you again.
Aren't you ready to start a business or grow your real estate investing portfolio? If you answered yes, allow Andre and the expert advisors at the Residual Roads Business Institute to fast track and put you on a path to full-time investing. The greatest transfer of wealth in our lifetime is occurring over the next few years, and you can take advantage if you know what to look for. In order to be successful at real estate investing, you need to learn how to leverage your current resources to generate quick money, big money, and retirement money. Let Residual Roads advisors craft a plan to get you through these phases using little or no money in 6 months or less. Don't wait for a job. Create one for yourself and others. Go to residualroads.com for mentorship, and for our free course, go to residualroads.thinkific.com.